Welcome to this media session edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is January 25th, 2025. Indiana baseball is 3 weeks away from opening the season in Surprise, Arizona. Last night, within the warm confines of Mellencamp Pavilion, the program officially opened the 2025 practice season. After practice concluded, four players and head coach Jeff Mercer met with the media. The players were senior transfer pitcher Cole Gilley, junior pitcher Aiden Decker-Petty, consensus preseason All-American junior outfielder Devin Taylor, and senior catcher Jake Stadler.
Devin, you know, you've basically proven that you're smart, patient, consistent, and that you hit for power. So, coming into your third year, what is it you want to add to that list?
Just consistency. Like, obviously, I had a 350 batting average last year, but like my goal is to do better than that this year, like all around.
Devin, the preseason recognition, does that matter much to you?
Not at all. It's not real until it happens.
What are you going to do to make it happen this year?
I'm just going to go out there and play the game that I played since a kid. So I'm going to take care of itself.
What motivates you? What's your motivation? Just love of the game, competitiveness?
Really just the kid in me. Like, I've played since a kid, and like it's always been fun to me, and it's nothing different now. Obviously, like, there's more stuff around it, but it's still the same game.
What originally drew you to it?
I say Coach Mercer and the campus. Coach Mercer, like, during the recruiting process, I was looking for a coach that, like, talked to me more as just, like, just trying to recruit me. And he, like, some days we wouldn't even talk about baseball. Once I got on campus, it just all put into perspective.
What kind of other things you talk about outside of baseball?
Fishing at his pool in his backyard, basketball games, like my buzzer beater, just any random stuff you can name.
Jake, catching room a little bit stronger this year than in previous years. What have you done as the leader of that crew?
I think it's just the value I bring to the catching group we have is just like the experience. I've played a lot of college baseball, not all of it here, but I played a lot of college baseball, and so just trying to be like a leader for those guys and kind of pave the way and show them how it's done and really just make them feel like they could just step in the game at any time and be ready to go.
What have kind of been your general impressions of the pitching staff so far? There are maybe a couple guys that really stood out.
Yeah, I think Siebold and Gilley, I think they've made great strides even from when they arrived on campus in the fall. But our pitching staff as a whole has been incredible this fall, and I think they've made great strides and will be real good this year.
For both of you guys, just talk about the optimism you have from the team standpoint. What kind of season can you guys have?
I think it's going to be a great season. We returned a lot of the position players, and we brought in a lot of new pitchers. But new's great because these guys are new. They just want to come here and win. They've seen what we've done here the last 2 years, gone to regionals, and our goal this year is to host a regional, go to a super regional, and I think the new addition from the pitching staff is going to help us with that.
Do you think those two straight regionals, either for either of you, helps you guys want to maintain that, have that bad taste in your mouth and going out early?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our goal is to get to the next level, so we're going to do anything we can to win constantly every day and every day out. So.
Jake, you talked about the new pitchers coming in for the transfers. How have you kind of gone about establishing a connection off the field with some of those guys?
Yeah, it's just like taking what we have together on the field and just hanging out with them just off the field, inviting them over to the house, watch some games, play some video games. Just get to know them on like a deeper level, because I feel like the off-the-field relationship is more important than the relationship we have on the field. Because if I get to know these guys on a personal level, it really makes the game easy, because I can trust that guy, he can trust me, and the rest is history. It just flows.
Jake, you particularly excelled at hitting off-speed last year. Have you changed anything in your swing going into this final season?
No, not necessarily. Just trying to build on what I did last year, maybe hit for a little bit more power. I was not necessarily a power hitter, which is fine. It's not for everybody, but I'd like to hit for a little bit more power. Not necessarily homers, but maybe more doubles and extra base hits.
Taking any tips from Devin?
I'm trying. I'm learning from him every day.
Devin, was there anything specific you worked on this offseason?
Mainly durability of just my body. Like, obviously, I want to stay healthy all season, and like the past two seasons, I just had like some freakish injury that I've never even heard of, and I'm just making sure that doesn't happen this year.
What can you do to kind of make sure it doesn't happen?
Well, just do my mobility every day like I have been. I mean, God's in hands now, so I can't do anything else about it.
Do
you feel more comfortable in the outfield? You played in center over the ball. You're more comfortable in that position?
I mean, I'm comfortable everywhere. Like, obviously, center field, I don't have to deal with the tail or, like, hooks of lefties and righties, but and you can put me anywhere out there. I'll play fine, I'd say.
Devin, is there a spot in the order that you prefer playing in? You were getting lead off towards the end of last season.
I mean, I don't make the lineup, but I mean, if you ask me, I'd say lead off. But like I said, like it's Mercer's choice at the end of the road. Sorry.
Devin, have you had any moment along the way as you play the game that you kind of realized, you know, I might have a future in this game?
I mean, I don't really look to the future. Like, I just got to take one day at a time. And obviously, like, I can, like, say, for example, A.J. Shepherd, for a great example, like, I think he was one of the best players I've ever played with. But, like, obviously, he's played 3 career games, but, like, nobody saw what he was doing behind the scenes. So, I mean, I just got to take it one day at a time, make sure I stay healthy, and then pray to God.
Devin, it's year 3 now for you. It feels like just yesterday you were a freshman. Now you're kind of the leader on this team, or one of the leaders on this team. How have you kind of seen your leadership adapt over the years?
Just, like, getting comfortable with the guys. Like, obviously, like Stats said, like, we're hanging off the field, like, every day. Like, everybody's getting used to each other, like, used to, like, the tendencies of, like, who's strong in this, who's strong in that. And, like, we really just all play off of each other. It's not, like, more of a leadership. Obviously, like, me and Stats have been here for more than a year, so they look up to us. But we all make sure to stay as one unit, regardless.
Jake, what went behind the number change?
Really nothing. I was 44 last year, and Denton texted me. He was like, hey, do you want to change your number? I was like, sure, what do we got? And he was like, how does 9 sound? I was like, sure. And it's really as simple as that. It doesn't mean anything to me except for the fact that my good friend Brock wore it last year, so just trying to represent him and carry that on.
Did you have to ask him for permission?
No, I just went ahead and did it. but he gave me the green light afterwards. So.
Have you talked with Brock at all about getting ready for the season behind the plate and stuff like that or anything like that?
We stay in touch, not necessarily about baseball. I check in every now and then, see how he's doing, but really, no, not about catching or anything like that, just more like on a personal level.
For both of you guys, for Jake first, I guess, you came from another place, you played another ball and other opportunities. What would you tell somebody thinking about wanting to come to IU to play ball? Why come here?
Yeah, it's a great place. You're playing at a great conference in front of great fans at a great institution, and most importantly, we were winners. Like, this is a well-represented and, well, good reputation for a baseball program, and we're still climbing. We're still climbing. We've made back-to-back regionals. Our next goal is to host a regional, get us to a super regional, and people, if they want to be on that train and join the movement, then they better come here.
And, Devin, you came very highly ranked. You know what I'm saying? One of the highest-ranked players to come to our program in a long time. What would you talk about your experience here so far and for somebody looking to come here?
I mean, obviously, like, the accolades in high school, like, once you get to college, they really don't matter. Like, it's really like you're back at square one. So that was my plan, like, coming into campus, and obviously it's played out how it's played out. So.
Devin, you've talked about how you want to, you know, your goal for this year is kind of consistency. Like, if you're looking back at the end of this year, what would a successful year look like for you?
Just me freely playing baseball the whole year. Obviously, there was a little bit of stretch, maybe like in the middle of last year that I was just thinking, but like when I think freely, everything just takes care of itself.
Just one more thing. For both of you guys, how are these transfers and the freshmen really starting to mesh with the team?
They're doing a great job. I mean, it just takes time. Everything takes time. And so now that we're getting closer to the season, we've had several months with each other under our belts, and guys are starting to develop real good relationships with each other, especially off the field, and those will definitely translate on the field, building that trust. And I think the new guys, the transfers and the freshmen, they've done a great job with that.
Devin, is there anything you kind of do to free your mind, like we were just talking about, any activities, like mentally, or just kind of just a change of mindset?
I mean, it's just up in the air at that point. I say some games we're at home, I'll sleep on the couch after our BP on the field, like just to ease everything up, like release all the intensity. But I mean, nothing too particular, I'd say.
Last one over here.
Devin, you guys are going back to Cincinnati this year.
Obviously, oh, yeah. Fun trip.
You excited for that?
Skyline.
What's your order again?
Yeah. 3-way with 2 cheese cones. Mm. All right, got my mom on speed dial for that.
So. Are you going to try the Skyline New Raiders ice cream?
My dad likes it. I might. We'll see.
Cole, as someone who's been on a super regional team, what has your message been to this younger crop of pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, it's just being on that team, I was very grateful for it, being a part of that, just understanding the leadership that I got from being on that team. And just coming here and just having just the mentality of we're going to get after each guy and just push each other every day, never satisfied. But just the overall leadership and just leading the entire, just the staff, the freshmen have done a really good job of coming in and just getting settled in and really getting after it. But honestly, just the leadership in general, even from other guys too, like ADP's done a great job, Jake Stadler, Devin, Drew Burr, like all these guys have done a really, really good job of this. But I think this team has what it takes. And honestly, like I said, just the leadership and just never being satisfied.
Cole, you pitched against Indiana twice last year. You're talking to the coaching staff about potentially transferring in. Was there any conversations about something they saw in your delivery that they could potentially optimize?
Not really too much about the delivery. Obviously, when I entered the portal, Indiana was somewhere I really wanted to go to. But the big thing that they said was, developing a cutter. Just getting that, and they think adding that pitch is going to really help me go deeper in games and just getting more weak contact. But nothing crazy with the delivery or lower half. It was just more of just maybe adding another pitch.
How's that gone for you?
It's going really well. Really well. It's been going well. I mean, today it wasn't as good, but you have those days. But I think just keep the consistency of it. Just keep repping it every day. Even in pins, just making sure you're repping everything.
How you feeling settling in here with the new program?
I love it. I mean, Indiana State was awesome, but being here, it's unbelievable. It's been a dream come true. Growing up, I always wanted to go to IU and play here. And honestly, it was football, and I was like, you know what, maybe not. But I think just in general, just being here and representing Indiana Crusher Chess, I love it.
You pitched in a lot of different situations and roles last year, a lot of long relief situations. Is there any conversation with Mercer or Glenn about what those situations?
Not too much yet. Just kind of whatever role I'm going into, I'm going to do my best at it.
There really seems to be a big change in your game, Aiden, last year as far as pressure situations and meaningful at-bats. What changes did you do? Were preparation any different last year?
I'd say mindset, just kind of like that second half of the season, just making guys hit fastballs, just not trying to nitpick around the zone, just go at them with everything.
Aiden, I think you logged 25 or 30 innings this summer at summer ball. Was there anything you kind of picked up from your coaches down there?
Just kind of got a few starting chances and experiment with the closing role a little bit, just good baseball.
How'd you feel on that closer role?
It was fun just getting amped up, save half the rain for the eighth inning and chug it and get ready to go.
For both of you, I guess, whether working against him in cage sessions or, working against him in a game, just what makes Devin such a tough hitter to face?
For me, I mean, it's he just, his zone, he just doesn't chase. He may chase up a little bit, but you think you're throwing him a good pitch and he just takes it so easily and you're just like, man, where do I go next? And he's just if he gets a deep count, you can't take a pitch off because if you make a mistake, he's gonna hit it, and you're gonna regret it. You're not gonna get that pitch back. So just honestly, you still gotta attack him. But I'm just glad he's on our team. We don't have to mess with it.
Have you seen in those same kind of situations with some of the freshmen and transfers coming?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, just the beginning, with the freshmen. I mean, you got Cooper. He's coming in doing really, really well job. He had a good fall. Hanley and obviously Hogan, all these guys have been coming in and they adjusted really, really well. I'm excited to see what they do. It's going to be a fun year.
Obviously, you have a lot of work in the fall, not a lot of downtime in December, November, December. Now ramping back up, what did you do during those downtimes to keep fresh?
Just stick to our routine, just really hammering med ball work, plyo, just staying in tune on the mound.
Cole, grew up in Indiana, Columbus, correct?
Yep.
Did you make it to Indiana baseball games when you were younger, football games, basketball games?
Oh, yeah. So my grandparents are season ticket holders for football for forever. And I'm glad they kept them. But, I mean, growing up in high school, I was actually committed here. And when the coaches left, went to Mississippi State, I actually decommitted. So it's always been a dream come true to come back here and play. I love it here. It's awesome.
You think you'll carry that mindset onto each appearance or into each appearance this year?
Yeah, you got to keep the same mindset and it's just attack hitters and get after them and find any way to get out. You're not going to have your best stuff every day, but whatever you're working with that day, you got to get guys out. And it doesn't matter if it's you're coming out of the pen or if you're a starter or closer, whatever it is, you just do your job and throw strikes and get guys out.
you noticed any similarities or differences between Coach Hannes and Coach Mercer?
Yeah, I mean, Hannes is a little more old school with everything. We didn't have any data stuff or anything like that. Here we have obviously a lot more data. But I think their mentalities are very similar, which I really enjoy, and I'm glad I found a place like that. But yeah, I mean, they're very similar in different ways, but also different ways too.
How big is an experienced catcher like Jake Stadler been to some of the newcomers and incoming transfers like you?
I mean, it's huge. He just gives you so much confidence back there, just whatever pitch, whether you spiked one, maybe threw one to the backstop, just he knows the next pitch is the most important one, and he reinforces it.
How extensive is the data side of it for you guys? What kind of things are they looking at?
I mean, they're looking at different shapes of your pitches and everything like that. But me, ultimately, like, some people can get caught up too much in the data and forget to just compete. And I think just having a mentality of just getting outs and not really worrying about what your stuff looks like that day. Like, obviously, it's important to know what it looks like and what might play against a different hitter and just a different team in general. But I think if you dive too much into it, then you're gonna forget the aspect of, like, what you're out there to do, and that's to get outs. So
how tricky is it to strike that balance?
Sometimes it's tricky. In the past, with me being my fifth year, like, I've seen a lot of guys come back, and even at Indiana State, it was like, you got to make sure you come back and you're instantly in compete mode. A lot of guys get stuck in that training mode, and they just want to see how the mechanics are or what their pitch looks like, but ultimately it comes down to just you competing. If you have a group of guys come back ready to compete immediately, then you got a good shot. You're not off to a slow start.
There was a lot of discussion in the fall about the team trying to really improve defensively. Has there been much conversations with you guys about trying to pitch to contact more?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's definitely better if you pitch to contact, just get more efficient innings and hopefully go deeper in the game.
I think in general it's just us trying to just get ahead early. And once you get ahead early, I mean, the team's batting average is going to go down so much once you get them to an 0-2 or 1-2 count. And so obviously the damage isn't going to be as bad statistically. But just getting in that 0-2, 1-2 count, I think defensively, like, we've done a really good job this fall. Coach Allen has done a great job. But honestly, just attacking the zone with every pitch and attacking the zone with your best stuff.
Cool. Well, is there any specific memory you have of being an Indiana fan going back to that?
Man, there's a ton. I mean, I remember the old football field where they had just the turf and it was the big hill, and you walk in right next to the cannon. And I think there's probably multiple times I was down there just probably tackling somebody playing two-hand touch football. But yeah, those were fun.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on A.J. Shepherd, obviously, stepping away. Known A.J. for a long time. Incredible kid, great family. He came to me before a Christmas break and just said, I don't feel like my body's recovering the way that I would like it to. And there's still more procedures he's going to have to do, both with his previous injury out of high school and then the one last year. And so I thought he was going to step away and work on his own health. And so I have a ton of respect for AJ. He actually came by practice today and hung out. So wish him the best. He's going to graduate from Indiana, come back and get his degree and be a tremendous success. But having known him for so long and him and his mom both, having such a good relationship, but we wanted to make sure that we honored him and thanked him and had a moment to really kind of celebrate him, all the hard work and everything he's invested into his career, but also into the program as well, and wish him the best. So it'll always be a Hoosier for us.
Yes, D1Baseball.com ranked your freshman class 9th in the country. So you got a lot of real high ceiling guys in there. What are they going to have to show you in practice for us to be able to see them in games?
Yeah, it was quite the honor. Obviously a great achievement for those guys, for the staff to put those guys together. But we do have a track record of, as of playing a lot of young guys, having success with them. The first thing you look at a young guy is he's going to have to be able to play defense. There's only one DH. He's going to have to play defense at a high enough level to be in there consistently. And so there's several guys that you look at and you think, okay, he can play defense at a high enough level. Jake Hanley and Hogan Denny, Cooper and Cole Decker as well. Those guys can play defense at a really high level. And then you look at, do they have the ability to offensively be competitive? So you look at those guys and they're somewhere in that range to be able to do that on the mound. Can they manage the game? Are they going to be able to throw strikes and manage the game? And Henry Brumwell has done that at a pretty high level. Trey Telfer has done that at a pretty high level. Akoski had an injury in the fall. Akoski was recruited more as a pitcher than a position player, and has really blossomed as an offensive player. But he's done a good job, you know, filling the zone up, kind of two different slots, two different looks. So that's exciting to have a guy, a lefty, that can be on the side as well. And then Braden Thomas at times has shown the ability to do those things. So, you know, on the mound, you got to have a game manager that can throw strikes and be competitive, and then Stuff is going to be an ancillary benefit to that. And so those guys are going to have, I think, to some degree, going to have that. Maybe a little bit later in the year as they grow up and develop. But from a position player standpoint, can they play defense at a high enough level to impact the game? And then offensively, you know, can they be productive? So it's probably the deepest team as far as the depth of the talent that we've had. Now, what's the ceiling of the group? You don't know. There's a lot of unknowns as far as who would play. I mean, you could go so many different directions right now. But the exciting part about that freshman group, as you mentioned there, is it's talented and it's competitive and it's probably ready to play at some point pretty early on. And so how do you put those guys in position to be successful?
Do you have a pretty good idea of what the rotation might look like and just what have been your impressions of the new additions to the pitching staff?
You know, I've been really pleased with them. I think it's a mature group. The freshman group is talented. There's some sophomores in there that are talented. They really have kind of high-end stuff. Some of the transfers are capable of managing the game. They've experienced it. They've thrown innings. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring in some more experienced guys. So I think the transfers, you look at, there's a lot of different ways that we could go on the weekends, I guess, is my ultimate point. I don't have a super clear idea of what we would do yet. You look at, you know, Siebold and Gilly and Kraft, Yarberry, ADP. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways you could go as far as the starting. Ben Grable is back. You know, hopefully he continues to progress the way that he has, but you get a chance to see him. I mean, it's really, really good stuff. So he was really good today. I think he went two or three innings. So he could potentially be a guy that you would look at to start. So there's a lot of different options in there. But what's nice is a couple of those transfers have coming in and given us a little bit more of a veteran feel to that group. So they can go out and win a bunch of ball games and also give those young guys time to grow up as well.
Has there been anyone in particular, either on the field or off the field, that surprised you with their improvement?
Eldridge has been really good. He's been really good. It's premium stuff. The development of the sliders has been exciting. He's been in the strike zone and been really good. So I would say him. Cole Decker has done a good job. You know, he's young, and but he continues to grow. You could see him impacting the group at some point. Jason Oliver defensively has gotten a lot better. I've been really pleased with him. Just watching him the last couple of days, he's definitely taken a step forward. From a defensive standpoint, which isn't shocking, left side infielder goes second base as a freshman, ends up playing quite a bit. There were some times where playing balls downhill, playing balls to his left, the one is strength. He's gotten a lot better in that regard. And then, like I said, I've already mentioned Ben Grable, but getting Ben Grable back healthy has been a really big positive. Probably quite a bit ahead of schedule than you're used to at this point, with just the stuff has been really firm. So I guess that would be a little bit of a surprise to see him back so quickly.
I wanted to ask about Grable. Do you think he has the ability to kind of be a frontline type of starter for you guys? And what do you think, as the pitching staff as a whole, what the ceiling is for this pitching staff?
Yeah, you look at what we had him built up to last year. He would have been a starter for us last year. He's been at two or three innings right now at about a year out. And he's been 93-95 with a really good slider and a good splitter his last couple outings. So, you know, if you continue to work him up, yes. You know, the way you pencil it in months ago, you don't look at it and say, well, we're going to have him as a potential starter. Certainly the first half of the year, maybe as a one-inning guy a week, two innings a week, and then maybe the back half of the year could potentially be a starter. You know, he's kind of changing the conversation a little bit, maybe. But getting the last six outs of the game is still a really hard thing to do. And so having somebody with premium stuff, with experience, with guts, and a kind of competitive fire, those things are really important. You got to win the games that you should win. When you're, I know that sounds obvious, but it's really, you're up by 3 runs in the 7th inning, you should win the game. And so making sure that you're in a position to do that. And that will be a kind of decision that we have to make. Now, if Ben shows the ability to, you know, get through a lineup 3 times and go 5-6 innings and hold his stuff and manage and do all those things, then yeah, I think at some point will be a conversation where you kind of have more of like a Foley-ish type starter on your hands. And but at minimum right now, I'd say he's on track to be a really nice multiple inning bullpen closer option with a potential of starting.
With Devin this year, what steps do you want to see him take, and just how have you seen him kind of manage the pressure and expectations around him as his profile has grown?
Well, the good thing for Devin is he was a tremendous player at a young age, and so he was very high profile. So he's been in the spotlight for a long time. He's got a great family, a great network. Just his ecosystem has always been really, really strong and high character. So he's kind of used to being in the spotlight. Obviously, right now will be just a touch different than it has been, but it's not completely out of left field. He's had a good couple of weeks here, kind of post break. I think, you know, going to the Cape, going to Team USA, then going back to the Cape afterwards. He's kind of the only guy to do that. That's very abnormal. It's just that's a tough transition right into the fall. And so the last half of the fall I thought was really good for him, and then the initiation here post Christmas break has been good for him and his workload. You know, just not that he's never not worked, but he's kind of dragging a little bit coming out of Summer Bowl. And so seeing him, you know, he's in there, his typical time in the mornings, he's in there at 9:30 or 10, hitting for an hour before his group starts, just kind of back in there doing his normal thing. And you just want to see him be himself. You know, the only time that Devin can kind of get himself in trouble a little bit is he was very smart. He's got great feel. Sometimes his intelligence or his aptitude, he kind of outthinks it, right? He'll go, well, I'm assuming because this happened and this may happen. And sometimes you just got to keep that thing simple, you know, just stay on fastball timing. You have a pretty good idea. You may throw an off-speed pitch here, but don't be in between because you're thinking too far ahead. And he and I, if I'm saying it here, he knows I've said that to him plenty of times. So just keeping it simple with his approach in being able to just kind of do what he does and stay to his strengths in the middle of the field, the other way, and just go play the game. You know, I'd like to see him be able to run the bases. You know, he can steal bases in his, in a certain avenue, delayed steal, the backside runner. If he can steal third base, there's some opportunities for him. You know, he's going to be a high on base guy. I'm sure he's going to walk a ton and take his free bases and whatnot. So can he be more of a threat on the bases? That would be great. And then he was really blossomed over his career as a defender, you know, last year being statistically the best left fielder in college baseball. And so, you know, he could go to any 3 of the outfield positions, but just continuing to grow in that way and being more vocal in the outfield, making sure he's kind of helped to run traffic out there, obviously without Carter and without Nick Mitchell and some of those different guys that have been around or played like college baseball. He's just going to have to communicate and make sure there's traffic out there.
He was talking about the bond you guys had during his recruitment. I guess back then, what did you see in his personality and his character that made you think there might be something with him?
You know, I loved about Devin was he had a great sense of humor. And, you know, the old days you recruited guys so young. And so you imagine talking to an 8th grader or a freshman. You know, you call an 8th grader, I'm Jeff Mercer, head coach at Indiana. You know, what is a 14-year-old kid, 13-year-old kid talk about at that age? You know, it can be a hard conversation. You know, so you kind of joke about things and you kind of pick back and forth. And he and his dad always played ping pong, and I would kind of ask about who was the winner of the ping pong game was and tournament. And, you know, Devin had a great personality. He had some banter. We very seldomly talked about baseball. It just was a lot more, you know, just who are you as a person and your family? What do you like? Are you my family? And what do I enjoy? And what it's going to be like on a day-to-day basis? And so I liked about him is he had a good sense of humor. His parents, I loved, they were always on the call. They were always on the phone call. And so that was a you know, pleasant when you could have a conversation with the parents a little bit, get to know them, and they could know you. And so I enjoyed that. you know, they're a very, you know, faith-based family, very disciplined, very structured, much like my family. So there was a lot of you know, mutual similarities and interest in that way. So I guess those are probably the things that I enjoyed. Is Devin was, he was always had good energy. He was always excited to talk. They would bring things to the table to discuss, and his parents would bring up points. We could banter back and forth. You know, he had a game-winning basketball shot when he was probably a sophomore, last-second shot, and he was so excited to talk about that. I remember when during COVID, when we beat Penn State, when Penix dives in to have the extra point, right, the two-point conversion, I'm like celebrating, and then, you know, 2 seconds later, I look down, my phone's ringing, and it's Devin Taylor calling. He's like, "Oh my gosh, we won!" You know, he just was so excited, and you know, that big smile. So it just was a moment where, you know, some recruiting phone calls you make, and it's like, you got to like put an act on to like get excited for the phone call. It was like, no, I get to talk to the Taylors tonight. It was kind of the highlight. You're excited, and you look down, and it's like, man, we talked for 45 minutes. It went really quick, and it was fun. So I would say kind of those things. You build a really a close relationship with somebody, and so there's a kind of a trusting bond, and you need that, you know, especially for, you know, I work so closely with the position players and the hitters. So, you know, a guy walks over to you during the game, and he's like, "What do you think he's going to do right here?" And you got to have some trust. Like, I think he's going to go for a first pitch slider. You know, stay on time here, but watch that ball get up. And if you're good, you go for it. So those things really carry over. The relationships are important.
Devin really called you right after the Penix play?
Right after the Penix play. I was at my parents' house, and I walked out on the back porch. As soon as I did, his name popped up. He called me right afterwards. He was so pumped up. He was so excited. Yeah, sure? That's our true story.
When you look at the schedule this year, years past, you've gone down to an SEC, or you went to Baylor last year, not this year. Is that because of the heftier Big Ten schedule?
Yeah, it really is. This year's schedule was kind of hard to put together, just not knowing, you know, years past, you had five, you know, preseason weekends typically, and then, you know, you would take two or three weekends that were really heavy, one moderate and one light, and that's not to be, you know, judgmental or cast aspersion, but you're just looking at previous year's RPI, trying to balance that out. With our midweek, we're going to have a heavier RPI load on midweeks, with Indiana State and then Evansville obviously being good. But Indiana State, you know, we had Kentucky there at some point. You had an SEC midweek, and then you had Louisville as well. So you knew you're going to get some Ball State. Oh, is that a good RPI? You're going to get some of those. Well, when we went to three preseason non-conference, one in-season bye, it made it different. You pick up UCLA and USC, and so there is a you got to balance it out. You know, if you overdo your strength of schedule and RPI standpoint, you can hurt your team as well. You want to challenge them, so it is. You're right. I won't lie. I mean, we're gonna try to balance it to the point where you're still getting the RPI, you're still getting strength of schedule, but you're just getting it in a little bit a different way. You know, with all of the different changing of leagues, we're playing less home games, and that wasn't necessarily by design. We got dropped, and so you're trying to scramble, and that's not speaking negatively. I mean, people, their conferences got changed, their weekends got changed, their schedules got changed, and so we had to drop folks, which I hate to do, and we got dropped. So it just was you know, it's a crazy time across college sports in general, but to do the best that we can to give ourselves a chance to be an at-large team.
Is everyone looking forward to going out west?
Yeah, I you know, it's in. I've got that question a lot, and I know, I've got that question a lot. How are you going to do it at the West Coast and those things? You know, in baseball, you're traveling the first 4 or 5 weekends until we back the season up. It's just the way it's going to be for a lot of teams, and so that weekend that we're going to UCLA, we would have gone to Texas, or we would have gone to Arizona. So, you know, there's not a big difference in another hour on the flight. You're traveling either way. It's not like we, you know, we're going to the West Coast 3 or 4 times, or we weren't used to travel. It's kind of in line with what we typically would do. Not terribly different. And when I was at Wright State, we went to California all the time, went to West Coast all the time. Our head coach was from Sacramento. So we went to Oregon State. We'd go to Washington, we went to Stanford, we went to the West Coast all the time. So, you know, for me personally, maybe not for the kids, it's a little bit different, but it's also you know, an experience. They love traveling. they love traveling. They love that stuff. They don't sleep anyway. So, you know, they're up half the night anyway. So, you know, to get to go to Southern California and get to go do those things, it's a once in a lifetime. And that's really cool. I have fun with it.
Four players drafted in the first five rounds. How big is that for the program? And how are these freshmen and transfers? It kind of gives them bigger shoes to fill. Yeah. How have they been meshing with the team?
Yeah, the draft is it's a balancing act, right? So you want to recruit really high end players. For us, the high school model is our best way to do that, and we'll use selective transfer portal guys as well. For us to be the best team that we can be late in the season, you need to have talented players that are playing well. That's how we're going to play well in the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, hopefully a regional, super regional, and beyond. There's also a balance of managing the draft and managing, obviously, the expectations that come with the draft and the expectations that come with allowing a player to develop and grow. And so I'm very, very happy. I'm very pleased that those guys get a chance to move forward at a high level. There's also a lot of moving pieces that sometimes we don't always know going into it. You got to let a guy fail sometimes. You got to let him grow up. There's some ugly moments along the way. But ultimately, for us to be the best team that we can be, you got to have really talented players that are going to be prospects that are playing well the last month of the season. And that takes time and effort and work and some patience at times to get those guys ready to do that. And then those guys go and play well. So you're very happy about that. You're also managing a lot of moving pieces with the draft throughout the course of the year and emotions and expectations. And so you're really pleased when you can have a successful season, the guys get drafted and they go and perform at a high level. And I hope to go play, you know, Major League Baseball and go do that forever. But then you are in a constant state of turnover in your program, for a good reason. That's in a good way, where you're constantly young and you're constantly having to teach new guys new things, and they're talented and they have high expectations. And sometimes they look at the draft picks and they say, well, I want to be there right now. And sometimes we lose sight of how hard that really was to get there. And so managing expectations, if I expect it to be hard and it's hard, I can usually do it. If I expect it to be easy and it's hard, sometimes I fall on my butt and can't get back up. So it's hard. It's really hard. I think this team has meshed well because we have, for the first time in a while, we have some upperclassmen. You know, Jake Stadler is back, which is a huge stabilizer for us. Tyler Cerny's a third-year guy. Devin Taylor's a third-year guy. Ben Grable is back. Matt Bonnard is back. Drew Bird. And then Cole Gilly and Siebold and Swanson. Those guys are older guys. So it has been nice to look out there and be like, well, there's some guys that have played baseball and can help us to kind of bridge that gap and to be good leaders and community. DeMartino has played a ton of college baseball, been a good player. And so those guys can help and some of those young guys to grow up and to develop. Ultimately, everybody wants to play Major League Baseball. I'd like to still go play Major League Baseball. But we have to do it within the confines of the team. And we have a responsibility to Indiana and to the team and to each other to be a great player for Indiana, help Indiana win games. And then when the season's over, we'll do everything we can to help you to play at the next level and be ready to go and do that. But while you're here, we're going to do everything we can to win games for Indiana. And we've shown the ability to do both. We can develop, we can win games, we can grow throughout the course of the season, we can go through sometimes the growing pains, and then when it's time for the draft, guys want to come to Indiana to draft the players in Indiana, because the guys that came before them have been prepared, gone professional baseball, and succeeded. And the best indicator of future success is past success. So that's why. Those guys that came before them have gone to Pro Bowl and done really well. And so the benefit now is on the guys in the program.
Coach, you bring up Cole Gilly. He was talking to us just a second ago and talked about how it's a dream of his an Indiana kid to play here at IU. What does that mean to you to be able to let him fulfill that dream, and how important is it to have a guy like that that wants to play for IU?
It's a big deal. I haven't told this story. Cole obviously knows the story. Cole was committed to Indiana when I got the job at Indiana, and this was probably going to come out at some point, so I might as well talk about it. I didn't know anybody when I came here. I obviously wanted to recruit Indiana kids, and we recruit a lot of Indiana kids, but you want to be honest with guys when you come in and you get the job. I didn't know Cole terribly well, and we had different pitching coach at the time. He was a great, unbelievable pitching coach and one of my best friends. So, you know, I just had an honest conversation with Cole at the time. It was like, hey, man, we're going to, you know, bring a bunch of guys in, and it may be a little bit different than you anticipated. And you just being honest with him. He's a great kid and a great family. And he, you know, decided to go a different direction, and it was mutual and very respectful. And then, you know, his summer ball coach and I over the years have become terrific friends. And over the years, he's chastised me for he's given me such a hard time. He said, man, you guys would get along so well. He's such a tough kid. He's a great kid. He's everything blue collar and a hard worker, and high character, everything that you would love. And I said, I'm not disputing that. I'm sure that he is, but I felt like I had to be honest with him at the time. And so then when he went in, you know, after Mitch left Indiana State, Mitch and I are great friends. What a tremendous coach. He went into the portal. I called that coach back, and I was like, do you think Cole Gilley will hang up on me if I call him? He said, no, I think he'll answer the phone. And I said, I really did, because he threw against us twice last year, and I loved him. And I really thought he was a few adjustments away from, he had Tommy John, so I slowed him down in his career. And I really thought he was a few adjustments away, maybe a cutter or a sweep or slider, just another layer or wrinkle from being really good. And that's what Coach Clint does a really good job of. He's a really good pitch design developer. And so the first night we talked to him on the phone, honestly, the first thing I told him was how much I appreciated and respected him, you know, for being willing to take the phone call and have the conversation. And he said, no, there's no, you know, no hard feelings. And he loved Indiana and would love to be able to have the conversation. So they came on a visit. And if you, once you meet him and his family, you fall in love with him immediately. And had a great recruiting process, great conversation. And he's just been, he's been a dream. So, I'm glad that it's all worked out in the end. And I've heard him say this. I talked to Cole a lot. He's like, I wouldn't change my route. I wouldn't change what I've done. He's learned a lot. He's pitched in regionals, been to super regionals. I mean, he's had a great career. But to get to come back and do it in Indiana is a really special moment. And I'm glad that he's here.
Last one, guys.
Could you talk more about what Foley and Colopy coming back these past few months has meant to the program?
Yeah, having, you know, Foley here, you know, when you lose a draft eligible sophomore, you're very happy for them because they've reached a financial point where it's become indisputable they have to do what they have to do. You know, and so for Connor wanted to come back. He was going to come back unless they met this pretty extravagant number. And that's one of the conversations that we had. I was like, hey, if you don't get to that number, he's like, I'm going to come back. I said, for sure. I said, but listen, if you sign for yourself, do you and us a favor, so I'll sleep at night. It's just come back to school this fall and just continue your degree. Because if you just stay on track, then you'll eventually get your degree. When you leave after 2 years, a lot of guys never finish their degree. And Connor's a super smart kid, and he's just capable of being successful outside of baseball. So you wanted him and Reisdorf and if any other sophomore signed. I just always implore them to just come back to school for that semester. So now you're down to mostly a year, because they do summer school before college starts, and maybe one summer school during college. So now they're down to 1 year. And if you're 1 year away, then you'll graduate. And Connor's a man of his word. He said, if I sign, I'll come back. And first day of school, he walked in the facility. He was registered for classes and worked out all fall. And it was a lot of fun to have him around and see him. And he's just such a great kid. And we've recruited a lot of Southern Indiana kids. You know, down there, he's a big deal here, but down there, he's a big deal. And so he's helped us in recruiting and all those different things as well. So it's been great to have him. And then Morgan's one of my all-time favorite guys ever. Just was everything you want a player to be about and a student-athlete to be about. And so for him to come back and for our administration to allow him to come back and to do that, to support him, we're really fortunate for our administration to allow him to do that, because there's you know, legal things you have to do to make that a reality, and that's not easy. So for Jeremy Gray and our folks to approve that was a big deal. But you take care of your own, and Morgan took care of Indiana, and we were able to do that for him. But he's been great. he's you know, I've been able to give him things on my plate, which is nice. Obviously the landscape is crazy in college sports, so I'd be able to hand things off to him just like he was as a player. You could trust him as a player. That's how he is as a staff member. You can trust him. I'm not great with technology. He is great with technology. So it's a great union. We're able to work together. helps me with my presentations and slides and all that different stuff. So that's great. But no, he's been wonderful. Practice plan, helping the staff. So he's going to be a great coach in someday. And so I'm glad that he is going to start his career here and be able to get it off the ground. He's been wonderful. And a great example or role model for the kids too. Because he's right there in between. I'm like, hey, you talk to him, man. You talk to him. Like, you know how this thing goes. You talk to him. Like, you got it. And everybody respects more him.
The program is expected to meet with the media weekly in advance of opening weekend. See you at the BART.